This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, episode 25, Should Aspiring Chefs Go to Culinary School? Here we go. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Found online at StellaCulinary.com. Ask Chef Jacob, that's me. And this is a question that I get quite often. People write me a few times a month, and I normally just reply to them via email or however it is that they write in this question, the question of culinary school. But it's also a broader question that I would like to address in general. You know, how is it that you break into an industry? When are you too old to break into the culinary industry to want to be a chef? You know, does that dream ever die? And should you go to culinary school? You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And culinary school is a tricky question to answer because I went to culinary school. I went to an expensive culinary school. And I am still paying that expensive culinary school off till this day. And I'm at a point in my career where I am extremely happy. In fact, I've been extremely happy for quite a while now. I mean, you're always going to have your struggles. You're always going to have your trying times. I mean, such is the life of a chef, right? And let's be honest, such is the life of everybody, right? We all go through our trying times with our careers and our personal lives. So the question is, you know, would I be as successful as I am now? And by success, I mean my personal happiness in my career. Would I be this happy and will I have achieved the things that I achieved if I did not go to culinary school? And it's hard to really ever answer that question because I went to culinary school. It's not like there's a twin version of me, same in every way, except, you know, he didn't go to culinary school. So I went to Le Cordon Bleu in San Francisco, the California Culinary Academy. It was a Le Cordon Bleu program at the time, and Le Cordon Bleu got a really bad rap after I graduated in the United States, and deservedly so, because they were licensed by some education corporation, and they started cutting costs with little regard to the training of the students. And with little regard to how successful the students would be after they graduated culinary school. In fact, there was a running joke when I was in San Francisco that CCA, which stood for the California Culinary Academy, which is where I went to school, in the kitchens there, they said, no, CCA stands for can't cook anything. Because that's how bad the students were coming out of that culinary school. But also, too, the reason why I was able to beg my way into a Michelin star restaurant and work there as an apprentice for a year and a half was because I was going to culinary school. You know, so it showed them that I was serious. But, you know, we also had plenty of people from culinary school, from the CCA, who came through that kitchen. And, you know, they were gone in a couple of days because they didn't have the work ethic. They couldn't keep up. They couldn't put up with the abuse that some high-end kitchens tend to dole out sometimes. So, I will be the first one to admit that I really learned both on the job and then just through self-teaching. You know, I didn't really learn a whole lot at culinary school, to be completely honest with you. What was nice at culinary school was I was able to take these concepts and ideas that I was seeing at this high-end restaurant that I was working at the time as an apprentice and see them work with duck and foie gras and truffles and, you know, beef tenderloin, all things that they would never let me touch because I was too unskilled to touch them. And I would run back to the classroom, and anytime we had the chance to work with any of those items, you know, the beef tenderloin, breaking it down, you know, some students would shy away because they were scared of breaking down a beef tenderloin. I was like, no, give me that. Give me another one. I'll keep on messing it up because I'm paying to be here in an environment where it's okay for me to mess up this beef tenderloin until I get it right. It's okay for me to do a complete hack job on this chicken until I get it right, because that's what I'm paying for. So to me, that was the true value of culinary school. However, I could have done that exact same thing at a community college program. In fact, the name's escaping me right now, but there's a community college in San Francisco. It might just be San Francisco Community College that has a great culinary program that's very respected. And now the degree that I have hanging here in my office that I got, you know, over a decade ago from the California Culinary Academy, which is a Le Cordon Bleu program. So they basically licensed the Le Cordon Bleu curriculum and their seal of approval. So I have all that stuff on my curriculum, right? The CCA will be closing their doors soon because the education company that purchased the CCA, they realized, hey, running a cooking school is really expensive. We'd rather just run IT schools where you just buy computers and you have kids, you know, sit in front of computers and type all day. Way more expensive than buying them lobes of foie gras and beef tenderloins and all the other stuff that goes into running a culinary school. But the, you know, the City College of San Francisco, their culinary program is still going strong, right? And it would have put me $5,000 in debt, which I could write a check for right now to pay off, versus the $60,000 that I've barely even put a dent into, right? Because of interest and all that fun shit. So the problem with the culinary schools that you see, the expensive ones, like the one I went to, right? Like the CIA, the French Culinary Institute, Johnson & Wales, all these schools, their tuition is extremely high. And when you graduate, you're graduating with, it's not like they're giving you a degree that says, here, kid, you're ready to go be an executive chef. No, an executive chef is a position that you can only work your way up to by working in restaurant kitchens and learning how a line function, learning how prep function, learning how your dish pit functions. I mean, it takes years of learning how all these things function together to be a real good executive chef that can actually run a kitchen and has a game plan, right? Because there will come a point in your career where it's your name on the menu and you have nobody above you to tell you that you're fucking up, right? So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of skills to learn before you get to that point, because when you're the guy at the top, everything can crash and burn real quick if you don't know what you're doing, right? Which is not good. You don't want to be a part of that. So the point being is once you graduate culinary school with that $60,000, $100,000 in debt, it's not like you're going out and you're making an executive chef salary. You know, it's going to take you minimum. I mean, I've seen guys do it in 5 years. I did it in 5 years, but, you know, I got some lucky breaks too in my career. I mean, I worked my ass off, but yeah, I got some lucky breaks as well. You know, it could take you as long as 10 years of just totally working yourself to the bone. You know, and you're, as a line cook, you're making $11, $12 an hour. You know, the average annual income for a line cook is $26,000 a year in the United States. Average income for a sous chef is $34,000, $35,000 a year. Average income for an executive chef is around $60,000 a year, right? So you're spending $100,000 on culinary school to, you know, in a decade, get a $60,000, $70,000 a year job. So the math just really isn't there unless you go to a good community school program, a good community college. Then the math is there. You know, you graduate with $5,000 in fees, and yeah, it's a pretty good trade-off. Plus, you're making some connections. But regardless, whether you go to culinary school or not, everything is going to be learned either on the job, or all the important stuff is going to be learned on the job and through your own self-teaching and self-experimentation, right? So you have to constantly be keeping up on what other chefs are doing, constantly reading, constantly studying, constantly experimenting and playing. You have to find your own style. because your own style is what's going to set you apart later on in your career. You know, that's why, you know, you look at how I present content on stellarculinary.com. I'm very much about, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, you look at the F-Step curriculum, which, by the way, you can buy now. You can buy the written curriculum. But it is flavor structure plus technique plus, you know, times execution. Because that's what it is when you are creating a dish. That's what it is when you are being an executive chef, is you take your personal approach to food, the kind of flavors that you like, the kind of style that you like. But it all comes down to the rudimentary basics of flavor structure plus technique, in parentheses, times execution, right? So you're learning these things as you progress throughout your career. You're learning techniques. You're learning how to combine flavors. You're experimenting with new flavors. And then the most important part about being a chef is you're learning how to execute. Because it doesn't matter how good your flavors are, it doesn't matter how good your technique is. If you can't execute it, if you can't get it on the plate out to that paying customer in a reasonable amount of time, then nobody gives a shit how creative you are or how good it was when you did your test recipe, right? So you got to be able to execute. And being able to execute is something that you're only going to learn by spending years in a professional kitchen, right? You're not going to learn how to execute because you cooked line at your culinary school's mock restaurant for 3 to 6 weeks, all right? It's not going to happen. It takes years to get those skills. So then, you know, I get questions from people that are career changers. You know, we're talking late 30s, early 40s, sometimes all the way up until their 50s. Jacob, I love cooking. I love your website. I work a corporate job and I am miserable. I'd like to change. I'd like to make a career change. And, you know, it's always a tough question for me to answer because look at my, the dead simple just logic question is no, don't do it. No, you enjoy cooking, continue to enjoy cooking for your family and friends, but don't do it. The odds are against you. But I've always been one to follow my heart and follow my passion and take leaps of faith. Because for you to truly achieve in this life, I believe sometimes you just need to just face fear, stare it dead in the eye, and take that leap of faith. Make that jump. And part of those leaps of faith are the risks that are inherent when you are jumping off cliffs. It could be an exhilarating ride that ends well, or it can end horribly. And I would hate to give somebody advice in their career or in their life that would end horribly for them. So here's what you're looking at. If you're 40 years old and you decide right now you want to be an executive chef, chances are you're probably not going to be an executive chef till you're 50. And here is the bitch of it. You're going to be the old guy in the kitchen and no one's going to like you. Sorry. People, I mean, I've seen it from the inside in kitchens. Yes, it's unfair. Yes, it's harsh. But you have a bunch of arrogant, egotistical, hard-working, just crazy psychopaths in their early 20s working their asses off in a very stressful, very competitive environment. And when you have a 40-year-old man walking or woman walking to the restaurant that talks about, you know, wanting to be a chef and, you know, it's my dream to be a chef, and you can hardly hold a kitchen knife properly, you know, that takes you, you know, they can dice 10 onions in the amount of time that it takes you to dice one onion. And look it, I don't care how good you are at home, that is exactly what you're facing when you walk into a real professional kitchen. They're going to have disdain for you. And they're not going to like you because you're their competition. And it's a young person's game with a young person's mentality. So they're immediately not going to like you. So you're going to have to win them over by working harder. And at 40, that's tough. Now, you could be in really, really great shape. And, you know, I see people from all different walks of life who have come to my past boot camp programs, and the boot camp programs are pretty intense. You know, we cook breakfast and lunch. Excuse me, we would cook lunch and dinner together, and they would sit for lecture in the morning and maybe, you know, have a little lunch break in the afternoon. But, you know, they would spend a good 6-7 hours on their feet, maybe 6 hours on their feet in the kitchen, right, in a hot kitchen. And even the people who were, you know, really, really in good shape and living healthy lifestyles, they would be beat by like the third day because their bodies just aren't used to it. And that's in a really laid back environment where you get to sit down for an hour and eat your lunch, and you get to, you know, rest, and you're paying me to be there and instruct you on professional cooking. So I'm not running you like I would run a paid employee, right? I'm not demanding of you the same perfection and the same efficiency of movement as I would as a employee that I am paying to work in my kitchen. So, you know, now you're starting off in your 40s at $11, $12 an hour, and you are in a environment where you're working 12, 14 hours a day on your feet in a hot kitchen under stress, constantly bending, constantly kneeling, constantly picking heavy things up, and you don't see your family much. You don't see your friends much. You're working evenings, holidays, and weekends, unless you're B team, right? Which you don't want to be B team, because that being B team puts you on a slower track to being an executive chef. So to be A team, the guys that work the sold out dinner services and the holidays and the weekends, right? Which is the fastest track to being promoted, then you're going to be basically living your entire life to work, especially within that first 10 years of being an executive chef. So it's definitely, and that's not, so that's just me telling you the realities of it, the realities of you deciding that you want to be an executive chef of a restaurant when you're 40, right? Starting when you're 40. Now, there are plenty of things that you can get into in the food world that don't require the same amount of time investment, right? You could become a sales rep for food products. You could, you know, do demonstrations. You could start a food blog. Look, there are a ton of shitty food blogs out there that make a lot of money because they, you know, they like food and they like to cook, but they're really good marketers, right? They're really good at putting themselves out there. So if you have a marketing background, then I would start a food blog and get yourself a nice, you know, DSLR camera and take pictures of your food that you make. Because chances are in a few years, you're going to be making more money doing that than the average line cook would, right? If you know how to market yourself and promote yourself. So really to kind of bring it all home, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be real about it. And I've taken, you know, logical advice that people have given me in the past and completely thrown out the window and been like, that's not how I'm going to live my life, right? So I feel as if it's my duty to almost discourage you from going to culinary school, from becoming a chef, right? Because the path is so hard. And laying out the logical steps of what you can expect. This is what you can expect when you are working your way up trying to be a chef. And then after all of that is said and done, and you're like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it anyways, because that's what I want to do. Because, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to regret not doing this, not taking this leap of faith, not playing against the odds. Well, then, welcome to the industry. It's going to be one hell of a ride. And I guess that's it. That's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Thanks so much for tuning in. Check it out. I do have my ebook available, the S-Step Curriculum and Culinary Bootcamp Workbook. Teaches you about flavor, sauce, technique, execution, preparation, the building blocks you really need to cook like a professional chef, and even better than a lot of professional chefs. I mean, come on, not every professional chef is good at what they do, right? Also, if you want, you can download the first section, F is for Flavor, by signing up for our free email newsletter, and you'll also get notified when new content and all that fun stuff comes out. Thanks so much for listening. This episode's show notes can be found at stellacorner.com/ACJ25. Feel free to ask your questions or leave a comment there. See you in the next episode.